A lot of people saying a lot of things that make you go, on this Thursday morning. President Trump says he might invoke the Insurrection Act in Minnesota. Oh boy, wouldn't that be interesting? A state lawmaker says Minnesota Governor Tim Walz needs to be impeached. And he's got the articles of impeachment all written up and ready to go. And Dave Hughes, our guy from Carlstead, Minnesota, frequent contributor to the show, says he wants to run for Congress coming up here in 2026. He will have a fight on his hands, but knowing Dave, he'll be up for the battle. Good morning, my friend. Great to be back here with you on the Steve Holstrom Show. Great to be back in studio here as well in Grand Rapids, Minnesota yesterday. One of the sane parts of Minnesota. There's actually a lot of sane parts of Minnesota. You can even go to many places around the Twin Cities area, and it still feels pretty normal. Although there's a lot of people that are just a little uneasy, even around the suburbs, because ICE has been doing its job in some of the different suburbs as well. And generally speaking, these aren't things that you see driving down the street. They're in some kind of back lot, warehouse area, that kind of place. But definitely interesting to monitor the pace and the tone of things, which didn't get any better yesterday. There was another shooting, a second shooting, in about a week. Wasn't fatal. And this one, people are working a little harder to get angry about ICE with, but they're still doing it anyway. I'm going to play for you coming up today the reason that I tell you finding compromise is basically impossible anymore with the voices on the radical left, because their sense of reality, what they see, their sense of morality, what is right and what is wrong, is just so different from mine and probably yours as well. I listened to a press conference full of contradictions yesterday, and I had to wonder, does Jacob Frey even believe what he's saying? It's like you almost have to work really hard to say it the way he's saying it, but maybe he doesn't have to work all that hard because his compass, his moral code, his sense of right and wrong is just so very different. So we're going to do that here today on the program. I'm going to hop to it quick today because there's a lot to get to. Morning Wire is absolutely jammed full of stories today. And I've got Story of the Day to get to today as well. That's going to be this press conference last night. We're going to get to the key three coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. And the best thing I heard all day, talking about how Americans are responding to this idea about capping credit card interest rates. As you might expect, people like the idea. And a lot of Americans, no matter what your party, seem to be struggling with credit card debt. So we'll get to that here today on the program. We're guest free today on the show, and I thought yesterday about trying to book one more guest here and get somebody on for today. I'm like, you know what, we have not probably done enough just talking, you and me, and all of us coming together and kind of pooling our collective knowledge resources to try to make sense of all this. As I say a lot, we do life together on this show. We sort out what's going on, try to make sense of it. Some of the things I can't make sense of at all. And the question I have, and I'll ask you this several times today along the way, is how does this end? Like, what's the thing that's going to bring this to an end? Trump's not backing down. The supporters are apparently well-funded and at least in enough numbers to have a mob here and there once in a while. I don't know how this ends. I don't know when it ends, and I don't know what the end result is. So we're going to talk about that here today on the show. So let's get to it with the Morning Wire here. At 10 past the hour, I have to remember this, now that we're on in the mountain time zone, I have to just say 10 past the hour, so we did it, at least for today. So let's get to it here. It is January 15th. Hey, we basically reached the halfway point of January, so we'll take that. January 15th, 2026, in the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. Let's start with the Almanac for today. January 15th, Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo, average high is 18, average low 0, record high 40 in 1942. That's low. I thought the record high would be higher than that. I remember some days in the 50s in January, not too many years ago, but 40 is the record high today. 1942 was the year. And on this day in 1888, it was 36 below. Yikes. None for me, thanks. You can have all that. Sunrise this morning was at 8:07. Sunset will be at 5:05. We will gain 1 minute and 56 seconds of daylight today. Tomorrow, we actually get to gain 2 full minutes of daylight. So we're going in the right direction, no matter where you are listening to me here today, at least across the upper Midwest. Anyway, let's take a look at markets today. The markets are off to a flying start. Some good earnings reported by a few of the semiconductor companies. So the Dow is up 252, S&P 500 up 37, NASDAQ up 183. Good solid gains there of a half to three quarters of a percent across the board. WTI crude oil hanging right around $60 a barrel, 59.29 right now. Gold down $20 an ounce, silver down $1.08 an ounce today, and Bitcoin today about $1,000 less than where we were yesterday, 96,000. 260. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas, 284 a gallon, and that's even from yesterday. North Dakota, 254. Minnesota, 265. South Dakota, 260. And diesel fuel today, unchanged at 351 a gallon. In the news today, President Donald Trump threatened earlier today to invoke the Insurrection Act to deploy military forces in Minnesota. This coming after days of angry protests over a surge in immigration agents on the streets of Minneapolis. The president has already sent nearly 3,000 federal officers into the Minneapolis area who have been wearing the camo, face masks, guns, the things that normally trip the triggers of the people on the left. The president put out in a social media post today, quote, "If the corrupt politicians of Minnesota don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists from attacking the patriots of ICE, who are only trying to do their job, I will institute the Insurrection Act." So there you go. President laying down the law today. Care 11 TV in the Twin Cities reports that 2,400 people have been arrested by immigration officials in the Twin Cities since Operation Metro Surge began. And it's only been, what, 10 days? Yeah, January 5th. So they are getting the job done with their arrests and the work that they have done there. Also today here on the program, I can tell you, that story just kind of disappeared off my screen there. That's crazy. What happened there? We'll come back to it. Star Tribune reports that GOP candidate for Governor Chris Maddle is providing legal counsel to the law enforcement officer, Jonathan Ross, who was the man who pulled the trigger with the woman in the car and shot and killed her about a week ago. Maddle tells the Star Tribune that he filed Ross's application to have the U.S. Department of Justice provide legal representation under federal regulations. So Maddle finding a pretty good way to insert himself into the news cycle. I guess the guy's got to still work, even though he's running for governor. A state representative in Minnesota named Mike Weiner is seeking to impeach Governor Tim Walz, and he says that he has drawn up the articles of impeachment. There's been a lot of talk about this, but it hasn't been done yet by anybody. But he posted the four impending articles of impeachment to Facebook yesterday, says they've been drafted by the Minnesota House Research Department. He says we need to have justice and accountability with all the fraud and everything going on in Minnesota. So very interesting there. Dave Hughes, Republican from Carlstead, Minnesota, has announced that he is going to be running for Congress again. He has run in this race three different times, ran in 2016, 2018, and 2020. He won the Republican Party endorsement in 2016 and 2018, but lost that race both years. He will be challenging Michelle Fischbach in Congressional District 7 on the Republican side. On the Democrat side, two people are in: Heather Keeler of Moorhead, the current state representative, and Eric Osberg of Wadena. So that party getting a little bit more crowded. Real Clear Politics reports that their polling average shows that President Trump has a better approval rating on January 14th of his second year in office than either George H.W. Bush or Barack Obama did. Trump approval rating, and they average them all out, all the polls have been done, 43.8%. Bush was 42.2%. Obama, 41.9%. And Donald Trump's first year back in office has seen a major surge in permitting, the drill, baby, drill. New Interior Department data, our guy Doug Burgum putting this out, shows a roughly 55% increase in oil and gas drilling permits approved on public lands since President Trump's return to the White House last January. That, friends, is why we see gas prices down near $2 a gallon. Those are some of the stories making headlines here on This Morning. Another shooting in Minneapolis, another press conference full of contradictions. Story of the day next. 701-271-1100 is our phone number here on the Steve Holcomb Show. That's the Bally Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. Whether you listen to me on Flag East, WZFG, the flag in the Red River Valley, Flag West, AM 1090, FM 92.7, KTGO out in the Bakken, booming in the Bakken, whether you're listening out there or anywhere around the Midwest, the world, the country, whatever, on the mobile apps, the smart speakers, streaming on the computer. Glad to have you with me here on the program today. You can also email studio at flagfamily.com. You can text 701-237-1590. So lots of ways to get involved. And I'm coming to you from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a new car, truck, or SUV. Story of the day. Another shooting in Minneapolis and another press conference full of contradictions. The question I just keep rolling around in my head is, how is this going to end? When does it end? And what does it look like? I really don't know. I've got guesses. But every day I think I have a better idea what's happening and how much staying power it has, and every day that story changes. 10:30 last night, there was a press conference because at about 7 o'clock last night, there was a second shooting in Minneapolis where an ICE officer discharged a weapon and hit somebody, one of the protesters. So Brian O'Hara, the police chief in Minneapolis, and Mayor Jacob Frey, the mayor, I guess I just said that, got together, had a press conference, and wanted to outline what had happened. And then, of course, Jacob Frey's got to make a statement the way he always does. So here's a little bit about how that sounded. Brian O'Hara starts out, he runs down a little bit about what happened, and then has a message for the protesters. This goes about 3.5 minutes. And I'm not going to stop and give you commentary during. I might grunt a little bit here and there. But then I'm going to give you my takeaways and what I pull out of this when this is done.
There's a crowd gathered in the area, and we have called for mutual aid from the Minnesota State Patrol and Hennepin County Sheriff. The crowd is engaging in unlawful acts. They have thrown fireworks at police officers, and at multiple times, gas has been deployed. Police are attempting to disperse this unlawful assembly at this time. I urge anyone that is at the scene to leave immediately. This is already a very tense situation, and we do not need this to escalate any further. I have faith that the investigators that are involved will follow every lead in this case and ensure it is completed to its logical conclusion.
And here comes the mayor. Make it all better.
There's still a lot that we don't know at this time, but what I can tell you for certain is that this is not sustainable. This is an impossible situation that our city is presently being put in. And at the same time, we are trying to find a way forward to keep people safe, to protect our neighbors, to maintain order. And we're in a position right now where we have residents that are asking the very limited number of police officers that we have to fight ICE agents on the street, to stand by their neighbors. We cannot be at a place right now in America where we have two governmental entities that are literally fighting one another. Why are we put in this position? We're put in this position because we have approximately 600 police officers in Minneapolis, far fewer that are able to work at any given time. And there are approximately 3,000 ICE agents in the area. 3,000. The 600 police officers that we have are charged on any given day with investigating crime, stopping homicides from taking place, preventing carjackings. That's the work of a police officer in a city. Meanwhile, we have ICE agents throughout our city and throughout our state who, along with border control, are creating chaos. This is not the path that we should be on right now in America. Thankfully, there's another path. And I want to talk to everybody who's out there, even people who aren't living in Minneapolis right now. Maybe you just put your kids to bed. Maybe you're cleaning up the dishes. I'm sure you love your family. There's no doubt in my mind that you love your town. Imagine if that city or that town was suddenly invaded by thousands of federal agents that do not share the values that you hold dear. Imagine if your daily routines were disrupted. The local cafe that you eat at was shut down because they're scared that their own family might get torn apart. Imagine if schools shut down and suddenly parents got to figure out what to do for daycare. This is not creating safety. It's certainly not creating safety when a huge percentage of the shootings that have taken place so far this year in Minneapolis have been by ICE. So let's be very clear. I've seen conduct from ICE that is disgusting and is intolerable.
Oh.
If it were your city, it would be unacceptable there too.
Okay. Well, it's hard to know where to start here, but I would again start with a question. How does this end? When you listen to the mayor speak, it's pretty clear that his sense of direction is just completely different than what yours and mine might be. I'll say this, good for the chief. Chief gets up there and says, go home. You're making it worse. These are unlawful protests. The chief's been a little squishy at times. I suppose you have to be that way. But he at least had the common sense to understand that you've got law enforcement people going about their work, whatever you think of the work, but they are doing what they are legally entrusted and actually required to do. Remember the E in ICE is enforcement. We are enforcing laws. We're not making them up as we go along. So good for the chief. And then the mayor gets up there and wants to go on a little stump. And my guess is he wants to be governor or president someday. So he is going to talk about all the things that he thinks are going to play to the base. You notice who did not say go home protesters? Mayor. Because he's got money and support and whatever else coming from people that don't want that to end. If we shared the same values, the same sense of right and wrong, I could answer the question of how does this end, but we don't. Because of that, we'll never be able to compromise or find common ground here with people like Jacob Fry. The mayor says the ICE conduct is disgusting, but not the protesters. 3,000 ICE agents is disgusting, but not the city that ran off half its police force so that we only have 600 cops left in the city. So we got that going on. Having law enforcement are the criminals, not the people who knew better and broke the law anyway. And to top it all off, says most of the shootings that have happened in the city are ICE. What? Two shootings? You just almost wonder if he really believes what he is saying. The president is not going to back down, and he shouldn't. He can't. What if he does? It's open season on more of this. What we have seen here with these unprovoked attacks, man, oh, man. There are a million cameras running by paid agitators. How does this end? You tell me, 271-1100. How does this end? 701-271-1100. If you send your kids to Capstone Classical Academy, I can tell you how that ends. Get kids that come out like rock stars. And at Capstone Classical Academy, they focus on this whole idea of cultural renewal, starting from the ground up with our youngins, which is really the best way to do it. They believe that cultural renewal starts with education, forming wise and virtuous young men and women who love what is true, good, and beautiful. And you can support this effort. Go online right now to givingheartsday.org and search Capstone to make your tax-deductible gift for Giving Hearts Day. Capstone, rigorous academic studies within a Christian worldview. I did see yesterday, by the way, and you might have as well, that Jonathan Ross, the ICE agent who fatally shot Renee Good last Wednesday, suffered internal bleeding following that incident. This, according to two U.S. officials briefed on his medical condition. We knew that he went to the hospital afterwards and spent some time there before being, well, I guess I don't know if he's been released or not. He went to the hospital. That's the last I'd heard. But it's been now confirmed by two people within the administration that are aware of the medical reports that he did suffer internal bleeding. And Jacob Fry, the gentleman whose comments I just played for you, if you'll remember, I played this on the show, was it last Thursday or whatever, he goes, yeah, he really got hurt. I could get hurt about that bad closing the refrigerator door with my hip. And I said to you at that time, like, what a horrifically stupid thing to say. I don't know if it's stupidity, ignorance, foolishness, being dumb. I mean, maybe all those things. But in the height of a battle of some kind, the adrenaline is flowing. And Fry looks at the guy walking away and go, oh, he didn't get hurt? Okay, internal bleeding. It sounds like an injury to me. It's almost like the thing that obviously happened because we saw it all happen where the car drove off and clipped him on the way by. It's almost like that really did happen. Like the 85 different angles and viewpoints and pieces of tape that we've all seen and looked at. It's a tough look for Jacob Fry. We all suffer internal bleeding when we close the fridge door, right? Goodness sakes. What a buffoon. I get he's revered by many, and he, of course he's talking tough now about Trump and ICE, so they all love him down there. But how does this end? And what does it look like when it ends? A couple thoughts on that while we open up the phone lines, 271-1100, 701-271-1100, studio at flagfamily.com, text line 701-237-1590. Some people say this is a war, but in war there are no rules. I mean, you know, there's a few, but not really. You do what you got to do. That's not the case here. There are a million cameras being run by paid agitators. What have you seen for video of unprovoked attacks by ICE? Where ICE just like walked up to somebody for no reason and started beating the crap out of them. What have you seen for that? Well, if that would have happened, or just, you know, gunning down black people in the streets, what we're told happens all the time, you would have seen it a million times by now. Where does this go? How does this end? I don't have any great answers. I'd love to hear your thought. What does this look like when it's over? My best guess is that Trump doesn't back off for another 2-3 weeks. And my guess is that there will be a shooting of somebody by ICE about every other day. Because obviously there are protesters there who are well paid or filled with evil rage or maybe a combination of both. So more shootings, I hate to say it this way, but it's almost unpreventable. It seems almost a certainty to me, and more people will die. I really believe that. I don't know that we're going to have 100, but would it surprise me if we had 10, 15 people die? Mm-mm. It wouldn't. We are seeing fewer and fewer marches and organized gatherings, but we're not done with the mobs because it's very easy to mobilize a mob. You just find a bunch of cash and find a bunch of people who are willing to do whatever needs to be done. And we know this. This is a playbook. There is a business called Rent-A-Mob, and the guy's been on cable news saying, yeah, I got a call saying, can you send me 1,000 people? Well, that business, I'm sure, is still alive and well. I hope that one of the things that can happen out of all this is that there's an investigation about that money trail. They did it with the DAPL protests, and that's why Energy Transfer got a positive result in their case. So now we know this happens. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, that's just something people say. No, it's something people prove in a court of law, apparently. we're not done with the mobs because the money isn't going to go away. And if they can find people that are just willing to do whatever to ice, and now it's so gross, it's spitting and it's bottles of urine that are being thrown into cars, and you know, they fill the bottle and then just throw the, just spray the liquid. It's so vile and it's so gross, and part of that is why this isn't going to end. But the worse your transgression, the more you get paid. This is what happens in these things, and we know that there are fireworks that are being shot toward the ICE officers. You know, if we find those people, that's attempted murder. It's got to be. So how do you think this ends? You've heard my statement. I'd like to hear yours. 701-271-1100, or text me, or you can email as well. So let's go to the start with a text line here. I see the phone ringing here. Steve, you had me at water cannons in January. And water cannons, don't love that word. In war, you don't arrest your enemies. No, but in war, you arrest people that commit crimes against law and order. So this isn't about do I like you or do I not like you. This is that. So, and I'll just say this too. We have a group of people that listens to this show, and I'm glad, because I hope that some of this sooner or later sinks in, but people that are on the other side of the political debate. And there's a fair number of people, and I don't mind those who are, you know, on the left and just see it differently and want to have a discussion, say, hey, what, you know, what about this? But there's people that are just out here trying to draw blood too on yours truly and others. My question for you is, why are you doing this to yourself? You're not going to hear things that you like here. So go somewhere where you fill your heart with the kind of joy that gets you going, because you're not going to find it here. The show isn't for you. It just isn't. So why are you doing this to yourself? And nobody here takes you seriously with your incendiary statements or whatever you're trying to throw out. So, Steve, I like the impeachment idea. May not get the votes, will expose the no voters. Yeah. Fair. You know, if they're going to, you know, impeach Donald Trump in Congress, why would you not think that Tim Walz's behavior is kind of in that area as well? All right. Phone line's hitting here a little bit, so let's do that. Let's go to the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. John is up first. John wants to talk about the madness. Yeah, good way of saying it, John. Good morning.
Well, madness is the best way to describe it. I can't believe that Jacob Fry is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
After listening to that.
There's a lot of them down there.
Well, he should be brought up on insurrection charges. I mean, hey, wait a minute. We tried that with Donald Trump, didn't we? Go figure. You know, I laughed last night because I made a comment on Facebook, you know, regarding the fact that, you know, Homeland Security, ICE, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol have been conducting arrests for decades quietly without the media hype.
Yeah,
and right away I got thrown down by the women with four names. You know, they have to have, you know, it's like if you have four names, you're more important, you're more educated, and yet they still can't spell. They all need to go to the Learing Center because it was, well, I can't understand why they're using Gestapo tactics.
Yeah.
Gestapo. Well, first of all, Priscilla, let me correct you. Why don't you talk to someone who lived in Nazi Germany? Or maybe survive the Holocaust,
right?
And they'll set you straight on what Gestapo tactics are, because what you're doing in Minneapolis, if you'd have done that during the Third Reich, your entire village would have been shot up, all these protesters, as an example to not rise up against the Führer.
It's complete hyperbole, and it's what we get. John, thanks for calling. Got to run along because our phone lines are full, but thank you very much for giving a call. Good points there. Next up, let's go to Hal on line two. That opens up a phone line for you at 701-271-1100. Hi, Hal.
Good morning. It's always good to hear that young gentleman visit anyway, but I this morning I heard something I hadn't thought I'd ever hear. But the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry, told the protesters, oh, just go home. We're not doing any good. I mean, he's one of the main instigators of all this. And it just kind of felt like it gave a little bit of a ray of hope where, you know, a little reality is coming into the whole situation.
Maybe. I heard the police chief say that, Brian O'Hara, in the first maybe minute or so of those comments. But then Fry got there, and you got better ears than I did, Hal. Either that or you missed it. But I didn't hear Jacob Fry saying, go home. That was the police chief that I heard. Now, maybe he said that in another clip that I didn't hear. But my problem with him is he's not saying go home. He's stirring up this dissension by talking about how evil the law enforcement efforts are. And he's not the one that I'm hearing, at least strong enough, Hal, at least strong enough saying this is an unlawful protest, go home. Thankfully, the police chief at least was willing to do that.
Yeah, maybe I was misunderstood, but here I thought we had some hope in the situation because, you know, the language he goes and puts out there between him and Walz, you know, I think they just think that all this fraud and everything is going to, you know, flutter away out of the news by putting this in. I mean, you know, WDAY-TV has 10, 15 minutes a day just talking about that one issue. I mean, isn't there anything else going on in our even local area and stuff? You know, it just seems like the whole thing is just being promoted by that type of interest groups anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Hal, for giving a call. I don't know. You know, I found the local news to be a way better than the national news. On the national side, it's just all about what gets the ratings and the clicks. And what gets the attention. It's scripted drama. They're not out there trying to give you an accurate cross-section of the day's news. They're going to take something that elicits emotion, and it's same formula that happens in social media as well. They want to have something that gets you so emotionally invested or entangled that you can't get out of it. Your comments on this, Mark, hang on. We'll get to you next on the Steve Alstrom Show. Big deals is the way that you go when you're buying stuff for the weekend, for you need some work done on your car, you need a concealed carry permit. Lots of good stuff on the Big Deals page, am1100theflag.com. Save 30, 40, 50% on stuff you're probably going to buy anyway, stuff that is fun to buy. Check it out on our website, am1100theflag.com. Click on the Big Deals tab. Mark is on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line, wants to talk about the protesters in Minneapolis. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, man? Listen, I once worked in a nine-story apartment building, and when somebody had water coming through the ceiling on the first floor, we did not go to the first floor and mop water. We went to the ninth floor and started looking for the leak going down.
Yep.
You've got to find what the causation, who's paying these people. Somebody's paying them. So you find out who's paying them, and you get them for incitement to riot. That's what you do. You force this person under threat of, you know, rioting and firing fireworks at ICE officers to give up who paid them, who gave them the money to do this. Then you go and arrest that person, and you prosecute them for incitement to riot.
That's right. Yeah, we've been talking about that.
They may be getting the clue.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that earlier in the show that obviously these people, we know the playbook here and we know that there's funding that comes to these people. So Mark, I'm with you. Good points. Thanks for chiming in on that. Yeah. You got to cut the head of the snake off. I mean, do you think there's that many people who maybe there is just with Trump derangement syndrome being what it is, but you got to figure out if there's money to support this and, yeah, this is assault, remember. If you talk to a lawyer, assault is even a movement of intimidation or aggression towards somebody. That's assault. Battery is when you actually hit them. So you got assault and battery and probably a lot of other things going on there as well. So if you've got criminal activity that is being underwritten by somebody in this country, we got to find that person and bring them to justice. So you've heard from Tim Walz. You've heard from Jacob Fry. You've heard from the Minnesota Democrats, but not all Democrats look at it the same way. This is a guy named John Fetterman from Pennsylvania. He's a senator. He's also a Democrat. This is how he looks at this whole thing.
And it was skyrocketing, you know, and it's like, that's unsustainable. When you reach almost 300,000 people, that's unsustainable. And we need to, you know, as a Democrat, right, it shouldn't be unreasonable to want to secure our border and do it in that way. And now let's also talk about ICE. Now, Absolutely. Again, what happened in Minneapolis was absolutely tragic. And then now, if you think, now this is from the Washington Post, you know, this is the latest statistics. These are people that ICE now are, though, it's like now 67% have criminal charges, pending ones, or that. So that's more than two-thirds. You know, the people now there are some people that aren't involved in any kinds of illegal things, you know, but so me, I think two things can be true, you know, round up all the criminals, deport them. They shouldn't have ever been here and they definitely have to go. And now I don't know, want to see more and more things happening in Minneapolis now too. So two things must be true. And I strongly reject the extreme on either side, you know, about this now. So we must be true. And, you know, I watched you earlier in your show. You just pointed out President Obama deported, you know, millions of people, and there wasn't having the same kind of outrage here.
Yeah. John Fetterman, Democrat senator from Pennsylvania. Sounds pretty reasonable to me. We've got to get rid, round up all the criminals, deport them. They definitely have to go. John Fetterman is in full support of what's going on. You don't hear him out saying the ridiculous things that you hear from Fry and Walz. And you've got, in those two, you've got people that are raising the level of frustration and tension, and they're not dissipating it, like we heard from the chief of police, at least not in the press conference last night. So every problem that he saw was a problem that was done to them, that this horrible thing has been pushed on the state of Minnesota, the horrible thing has been pushed on Minneapolis. And to the mayor, I would say, why do you suppose they're here? Like, they're not in Dallas, Texas. They're not in Atlanta, Georgia. They're not in Raleigh, North Carolina. They're not in Fargo, North Dakota, doing what they're doing. But you and your governor have allowed the state to turn into a disaster, a complete dumpster fire when it comes to law and order of every kind. So is President Trump coming out strong? Yes, he is. He has to. He's got to make a point. And all this will help the self-deportations, by the way, as well. So you can't, on one hand, let your city turn into a disaster area and then claim that you're a victim because someone else comes in and tries to fix it. So at this point, Fry and Walz need to step back, let ICE do what they do until they're done. But he doesn't seem to want to do it, doesn't seem to want to look at it that way. A couple of texts, too, on this have come in here. Steve, the mayor of Minneapolis, what an absolute piece of garbage. Unbelievable. To Jacob Fry, imagine if you have city government that actually prevents fraud and is not a sanctuary. No cities that aren't run like his are being invaded by ICE, so nothing to imagine. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying, too. There's a reason they're there. You make your bed, and now you lay in it. How does this end? One other text, Minnesota chaos ends with the arrest of all the leadership encouraging this poor behavior. Tim, his attorney general, the mayor, handcuffs and sentences. Well, until that happens, you're going to have all these things continue. It's going to take something that will stun people in order to change the behavior. Hour number two, the key three, coming up next. Really strong start to the market day on Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 0.8%. That translates to about 361 points. It's now 49,510, getting close to Dow 50,000. S&P 500 up 44 points. NASDAQ up 213. That's almost a full percentage point. So we're seeing a lot of things happening in the stock market today. On the tech side, it looks like, especially some semiconductor companies came out with good-looking financial statements, forward guidance, and things like that. So market is off to a tear here in 2026. I was saying on my show back last spring, and probably last summer more so, but when you started to look at everything that was happening with Trump being in office and some of the things that were happening with the tariffs, pulling a bunch of money into the country, interest rates at that time looking like they were going to fall, Trump knowingly was going to put in someone a lot more willing to push for lower rates, interest rates, just all of the tax cuts that were passed along, extended, the word I'm looking for, along with some of the other things you do. I had this feeling that 2026 was going to be a really, really, really good year, at least the first half of it, while all this stuff kind of settled in, and then maybe things will be so inflated people will take some profits. It's been a really good run-up here these last couple of years. It's absolutely happening that way. I don't always get it right, but I did on this one, that there's just so much underlying fundamental. And when you talk to people or you see polls like, you know, Americans are, you know, still like struggling with high prices and frustrated that it's not getting cheaper for things, I get all that. That's only human nature. But the traders, the professionals, are not people that are looking at emotion. They are putting their money behind things where there is statistical analysis and data that suggests to them that things are going to get better. And when someone has been had the bejeebers beat out of them for the last 4 or 5 years, things can get better, but it doesn't really seem like it because they're only getting better slowly. And I would say right now things are getting better slowly to the average American consumer. But the traders and the Wall Street people, the economists, those that will look at the data objectively, are seeing that things are really good and getting better right now in many different ways. There's still some headwinds, no doubt. Cost of living is still high. Sector inflation in certain areas, business expenses especially, still high. But there's a lot of good things happening, and we're starting to get tax returns now being filed. People are going to have more money because tax on tips and overtime was lessened quite a bit as well. So it's interesting to look at the market fundamentals or the market numbers and see them really soaring like what has happened. And yet the American consumer on average who doesn't follow these kinds of things is like, I don't know, I still don't really see it yet. Well, maybe you don't. But there's a lot there that if you look for it, you're going to see it. And I think the stock market is finding those things out, at least to this point. So there we go. All right, 10:09 here, 9 past the hour on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Let's try to hit a couple of tacks here before we get into the key three for today. Steve, Generation X doesn't always get a lot of respect. We've been picking up the banana peels, dropping honest hints, bearing through the computer excuses, straightening the road signs, etc. Many of our parents retired at 60 years old. Many of us now have 10 more years to go now. It's just, let's get the dogs on these crooks. Okay, thanks for that. Also, the troops, another text message. Oh, sorry. Starts with, some are probably doing the paid family leave program. I'm not really sure what that's all about. There's a lot of people in Minnesota. The police officers, too, probably. I mean, you got the benefit coming. You're going to pay for it, part of it, anyway, one way or another. So the troops are probably being gathered to police the city. They are trying our president all the time while showing their butts off to the world. Okay? I'm calling on behalf of Nate George, the candidate, or I'm texting on behalf of Nate George, the candidate for Minnesota State Auditor. Hopefully he can come on your show. The state auditor does a lot of good things and would love to get him on your show. Okay, we can figure that out. Do those on the left realize that President Obama deported more illegal undocumented immigrants than any other president in history, 5 million? Yeah, let's stop trying to argue with these people rationally. They do know that, and they don't care because Donald Trump, right? It's Trump derangement syndrome. They'll write textbooks, psychology textbooks about this. For years. Steve, Trump is floating the idea of buying Greenland. He thinks it's going to cost about $6 billion or the cost of about 8 Somali daycare leering centers. Very nice. Thanks for that. All right, keep them coming. You can email as well, studio@flagfamily.com. Phone calls welcome. Also, 701-271-1100. All right, let's do the key three here. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision Ford, Lincoln, and Wappen, 15 minutes or less to buy a car. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today, those that have the most social impact. I'm going to start with one that we've been talking about. It's just too big a story not to put in the key three today. President Trump earlier today on social media invoked or threatened to invoke the Insurrection Act to deploy military forces in Minnesota after days of angry protests over a surge in immigration agents on the streets of Minneapolis. Trump said, quote, if the corrupt politicians in Minnesota don't obey the law and stop the professional agitators and insurrectionists from attacking the patriots of ICE who are only trying to do their job, I will institute the Insurrection Act. Fair enough. What does it mean? It means that Trump's not backing down. The problem with political battles in the past is that Republicans have backed down. When it starts getting messy, if they start losing a point in the polls, when the wind starts blowing a certain direction, oh, okay. President Trump is different. He does not care. He does not care how much you hate him. He does not care how ugly the job is. Trump is a back alley New York street brawler by nature. Just happened to do his business in real estate out there. And some of that probably helped him. Some of that, I would argue, gets him into trouble at times. Some of that gets him to say things that I don't like. But it also allows him to see through the traffic and the distractions and say, I don't care if people like me or not. When's the last time you heard a politician say that? But it's a beautiful thing when you get a politician, a president in the second term, because they can't get reelected again. And Trump has acted this way the whole time. That, you know, I'm not doing this to get reelected. I've got a life to go back to when this is done. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. You're not always going to agree with him about if it's the right thing to do or if he's doing the right way. But he is going to follow his heart on these things, the things that he really believes will make the country better. And I'm not going to argue with him on this one. He'll do it, and it'll get uglier, which is why I believe there will be more people shot. These protesters are absolutely unhinged, and they will not leave ICE alone. And someone else is going to get shot, probably multiple people. Story number two. This is a story that leads to a much bigger truth. The story in itself, you're like, why are you putting this in there? Delta releases 2025 earnings on Tuesday. The airline posted a $5 billion profit despite selling $1.1 billion less in economy tickets than it did last year because premium ticket sales made up the difference. This comes from a Twitter account I like to follow, a guy who follows the travel industry named Kyle Potter. And he says, this says everything about where the money is in travel right now. That's right. People are buying tickets and they're not buying the cheap ones. They're buying the first class. They're buying the premium seats and they will pay more. This is the result of what we see. The people in the upper middle class and upper class are doing very, very well. People in the lower class, kind of the bottom 50%, are having a lot harder time. If you're going to put a product together in the United States right now, don't put together a product for the middle. Put together something for the low income or the high income. Because right now, that middle ground, it's hard to find it, I believe. And this is another example of that. And it's why I think President Trump has got a lot of work to do here in this year before the midterms come up. Because I think a lot of people in the middle feel like they're being squeezed. The top and the bottom are doing better. Finally, new Interior Department data says there's been a 55% increase in oil and gas drilling permits approved on public lands since President Trump's return to the White House last January. You want to know why gas has been flirting with $2 a gallon? It's all these things that Trump is doing. Never forget that. And if we would lose the impact of what President Trump is doing in oil, coal, natural gas, we would have much higher gas prices. Remember when Joe Biden said, oh, there's just nothing I can do about any of this. Congress is going to, what a joke. History gets worse for Joe Biden every single day. And he's got it coming. What a horrible presidency, my gosh. All right, that is the key three here for today's program. When we return, the best thing I heard all day. This is a good one. You're going to like this one. Coming up next, Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring in their sales team. That could mean the job of a lifetime for you. How much money do you want to make just by helping your friends find the car, truck, or SUV that they've been looking for? And service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. I think I heard Ward Cater say $40-plus dollars an hour. Wow. Vision Ford Lincoln, great place to buy a car, great place as well to put your service career or your sales career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. I saw the new Lincoln Nautilus yesterday when I was in Grand Rapids. Those Lincolns are getting really popular. That is a super cool. It's a little smaller than the Navigator, which I have, but I had not seen one of those recently. I saw the Aviator. I looked at that when we picked out the Navigator. But that Nautilus is a really cool vehicle. It just, I don't know, sometimes you just see a vehicle and just go, whoa, that looks solid. So they got those down there too. So check them out. From the email box, Steve, liberalism is a mental disorder. If we paid for cradle-to-grave mental health treatment, we might eradicate liberalism and Trump derangement syndrome within our lifetime. But we may have to commit a few of the hard left liberals to get them medicated. you might have to medicate them to get, medicate them to get them to check into the facility. Thank you for that, Dan. Appreciate that. All right, time for the best thing I heard all day. And then just a little teaser for you next segment. I want to talk about this measure to pay for the breakfast and the lunch for all North Dakota public school kids. I don't get it. Maybe you can help me. So we'll do that here in a few minutes. But best thing I heard all day. Don't hate me, but this comes from CNN. It was a social media clip I saw shared by one of their reporters. And I don't know, I like scrolling through my Twitter feeds, X feeds, and I've got my ones that I follow, and then I like looking at the ones that are suggested for me by the Twitter algorithms. And most of the time it's stuff I agree with. Sometimes I get just opposing viewpoint stuff. And then once in a while I get places where I would expect an opposing viewpoint, and really they say something, they go, yeah, I kind of agree with that. And I thought this was really interesting. This is some commentary based on statistics that is done by a gentleman named Harry Enten. He is the host of a program called Margins of Error. This is a CNN podcast about statistical stories. I have never been tempted to follow anything that CNN does, but when you're talking about statistical stories, oh, you're speaking my love language there. I might have to check this out. Well, especially if this is any indication. So this is about 90 seconds of this dude on CNN talking about the reaction to President Trump's idea of making credit card companies cap their interest at 10% on credit cards. There's about 90 seconds of this and what the reaction has been from Democrats, Republicans, and moderates. I think this is really interesting.
It is generating a ton of interest, John Berman. I mean, just take a look here. Google searches for credit card rate cap up 3,200% versus a year ago, up like a rocket. And every single poll that I have looked at, it's an extremely popular policy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm not sure about the policy, but it is great at this point. Great, great, great politics.
Yeah, maybe the victory firm is merely talking about it, whether or not it goes through. Why? Why do you think there's so much interest in this?
Why is there so much interest in this? Why do I say it's great politics? Well, take a look here. How Americans feel. Credit card debt is a stress in my life. Look at this. You get the majority of Americans. 55% say credit card debt is a stress in my life. More than that, where cost of living ranks on terms of the top issues in terms of what's affecting you and your family, it is number one in poll after poll after poll. So when you see this, you see a majority of Americans saying credit card debt is a stress in my life, and you see that ranking number one, cost of living in terms of the top issues. That is why there's so much interest in something that I think a lot of Americans think can address the very issue that they feel is numero uno, and that is the cost of living.
How partisan of an issue has credit card debt become?
Yeah, okay. So this is another reason why I think this is great politics is, you know, oftentimes we see the issues that divide Americans, liberals and Democrats on one side, conservatives and Republicans on the other. But take a look here. Percentage with credit card debt, 49% of Democrats, 48% of independents, and 51% of Republicans. It is a bipartisan problem in this country.
Okay. The percentage of Americans with credit card debt, I actually thought it'd be higher. 48% of independents, 49% of Democrats, 51% of Republicans have credit card debt. And people feel like this is an issue for them. And I mean, you heard the numbers, or you saw the numbers there. Credit card debt is a stress in my life. 55% of people say that that is an issue for them. It is hard to find something that unites Americans, but this is one that does. And the 3,200% jump in searches of credit card caps. Well, there was really no story, and then there was one. So no surprise it would be a big jump there. I will still tell you, I hate it. I hate this idea of a president using a political office to go to the private sector and say, you can't. Now, I don't think it could go through the courts. I don't think there's a shot. I don't think Trump can even really do it. I don't even know that he wants to do it. But the fact that he's talking about it, I don't hold that against, because he does this. He floats stuff out there. It just happens. But this is a clear violation of public sector, private sector. And the government, again, we want a small government. I get it when there's been a crisis, when there's been a war. I get it. The government has to do some things. When COVID hit, government probably had to get involved and do something to just get people living and spending for a little bit. But we went way, 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 way too far. And this is way, 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 way too far as well. But you know what? People like it. And why wouldn't they? Why would this not poll well? Capping credit card interest. Who can't get behind that? Problem is, you can't do it with the government. It has to happen with a credit card company coming out and saying it. Now, there's going to be some company, some bank, who does Visas and MasterCards, who's going to come out and say, hey, guess what? We're going to offer 10% max. And there will probably be a lot of business going that way, and they'll probably do fairly well. Let the market do it. So I don't have any problem with him throwing this out, because I don't think he's serious about it. If he's serious about it, then we've got a problem. Let's bring in Kevin. He wants to talk about this on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Credit card debt, whether it's 10%, 20%, 30%, you can't, we've had to use them, but you can't just pretend that, you know what, 10%, and if you're going over that, whatever. I know they've upped their rates and all that, but you just can't spend the money if it ain't there. You've got to pay that back. 10%, I mean, that's higher than a house loan. You've got to be able to pay it back.
Well, it's great advice. I mean, Dave Ramsey would tell you that. I've been in this early in my life. I got over my head, too. And boy, you make that mistake once and you don't make it again. But hey, life throws curveballs at you. But you're right. You cannot be living. You just never get ahead if you're paying interest all the time. Kevin, thanks for giving a call. I appreciate you weighing in on this. All right. I'm going to need your help. I don't get this whole thing about the school lunch thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. Help me sort this out. We'll talk about it next. Addison, digging deep into the playlist here. I'd fade this one down fairly quickly.
It's not one I play often, but I like the beginning of it.
It's kind of fun for the first like 10, 15 seconds. And then it gets dicey quick. All right, it's time to put another qualifier into the party on February 3rd for Valentine's Day in Vegas with the Wizard of Oz. If you've not already, please do go to am1100theflag.com, click on the Valentine's Day in Vegas banner, submit your name to enter, and weekdays at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 4 p.m. in the hour there. If you hear your name, call 701-271-1100 within 11 minutes. And so it is coming up on 10:33, Dan Schroeder of Perham. We are a Minnesota-based program here all of a sudden. Like, all of our qualifiers are from Minnesota. So, love it. Dan, you've got 11 minutes. So, Addison, 10:44 is our deadline there for Dan to call in. And if Dan does, he will get invited to come to the big party at Kingpin's. And we're going to select a winner, and the winner will get round-trip airfare for two from Fargo to Las Vegas, a three-night hotel stay, two tickets to the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day, and $500 spending cash. Thank you to our sponsors, All Sauger Meats, Kingpins, and Frontier Airlines. So let's go, Dan. We need another guest to come to the party on February 3rd. Coming up fast here. Fun contest, and what a great prize this is. Okay, I have a couple of numbers for you that I want to share with you. This will be a shock, I'm sure, to those of you who listen to the show. I'm a numbers guy. But I want to tell you a couple of things that I think are important for this conversation I want to have with you. And that is that I'll set it up. The state of North Dakota now is going to have a petition go to the voters. There's a petition. If they get enough signatures, it'll be on the ballot where North Dakota kids in public school would have free breakfast and lunch. All North Dakota kids, breakfast and lunch for everybody, paid for by tax money. There are nine states that do this already. Minnesota is one of them. I'm not sure if you knew that or not, but they do it. And so we want to be just like Minnesota. Oh, goody. And to have the free meals. So the numbers I want to share with you go a little bit like this. You might be wondering for this conversation, well, what is the current level on this now? At what point do we give out the free meals already? Well, this is a federal thing, apparently, that states can get federal money to do it. But it is 130% of the federal poverty level is the level at which a child would qualify for free meals. So for a family of four, that's about $42,000. And if your family's income, your four-person household makes less than that, then you get the free lunch. If your family is at $60,000 or less, you get reduced price meals. So that's at 185% of the poverty level. Okay, so again, if you're making very low money, you have free lunch already. I just want to make that fairly clear. The other number I want to give to you is average household income in North Dakota and then the median household income. So the average income per household in North Dakota is $100,000, $100,487. But there's a few very wealthy families that kind of skew it a little bit. So if you go by what they call the median, so this is if you listed every household and found like the top 50%, the low 50%, like the 50% population count, where their income is, that average is about $76,000. Okay? So the reason I bring you all these numbers is to say this. We already have a program where families that are making low money, $42,000 or less, get free lunch, free breakfast. They get free meals at school. If you, again, at $60,000, you get reduced price. So we have a plan to take care of the people that are really having the hardest time taking care of themselves. And as I say often, we have to have a humane society that takes care of people who cannot take care of themselves. I get it. There are some people down on their luck, damaged, disabled, all of damage is a bad word, but you know what I mean. Something happened to them, whether it's addiction, drugs, or physical deterioration, whatever it might be, we have a program to do this. So you're going to tell me now that the state of North Dakota should pay for people who make a lot of money. Rich family makes $1 million a year. Their kids get school lunch for free and breakfast. This is the plan. Average household income, $100,000, they get it too. Median, $75,000 and above, they get it. They get it. Everybody gets it. Why are we not saying, okay, we think the 42 is too low. Let's bounce it up a little bit to get it to 50. Every family under 50,000. Why are we taking this approach and just throwing money at a problem where there's not a problem? There is not a problem for wealthy people in North Dakota to find a way to somehow pay for lunch. So why have we created a problem that's not there? Why are we not just adjusting the standard at which, if you want to be a little more liberal with this plan, okay, fine. We all have different ideas about at what level it's hard for you to give kids food. And look, I get it. Kids should have food. I understand all of this. But this doesn't make any sense. This one-size-fits-all blanket to give free lunch to everybody. People making $100,000 aren't asking for this. So why are we giving them this? It makes absolutely no sense to me. It feels like a socialist sort of like liberal idea, like we have unlimited amounts of money, and if we do in the state government, then we need to cut the taxes. But I'm pretty sure that we don't. I get it. People are going to say, oh, Hallstrom, you cruel you have money, so you or whatever that you don't understand what it's like. Look, if we are going to get government in the business to make people's quote unquote lives better when they are high wealth individuals, high income individuals, then where do you stop? That's the whole problem with government programs, government initiatives. Where do we stop on this? So I need to know what I'm missing, my friend, because I'm clearly missing something. This story, Scott Hennett was telling me that this polls really well. Like 70% of North Dakotans say this is a good idea. What? 70% of North Dakotans say if you're making $100,000, we should be paying. Who should be paying? Me? You? Tax money? It doesn't make any sense. Make it make sense to me. 271-1100. I don't get it. I need your help. Let's go to Grant on line one. Grant, help me out here, brother.
Okay, I can do this real quick. When you give $500 million, the state of North Dakota, to WBI Energy to build one pipeline to one project, the state payers of North Dakota see that, and they're sick of the corporate state just hand in glove, continually working. They're always giving them the money when MDU has a lot of money. These big boys have a lot of money. The Harold Hams have a lot of money, and the state keeps giving them more tax breaks, more of this, more of that. So their profits go so high. When the rest of North Dakota is like, what the heck's going on here? I'll give you another thing. You could probably fund this with just ending Montanans that always show up here in western North Dakota to Bismarck. I don't know if they get to the Fargo, but they throw their ID out and they pay no sales tax on anything. Did you know that?
I'm sorry. Well, I was looking for a number there. I wasn't listening for comprehension. That last probably sentence you said. Tell me what you said again.
Okay. So anytime a Montanan, a resident of Montana comes to North Dakota, they put their ID. They don't pay any sales tax in North Dakota. North Dakota sales tax is exempt. Change that law.
I did not know
that. Fund that with the school lunch program. I'm all for it.
Okay,
and
so
you got to stop this $500 billion.
I get it. Okay, you made. I get it, Grant. So let me say this to you then. Why not change the problem that you have rather than displacing the problem to something else? If you think this is a problem, fine. That's a good conversation that we can have. Let's not give the tax breaks. Let's do our petition to the voters and put that on the ballot. Let's come up with some criteria. Let's fix the problem, but what you're talking about is completely separate from this other thing. I get it that that's what people see and that's why they're motivated to do this, but let's then do the mature thing and fix the problem.
Well, because everyone's lost faith in their leadership because they keep going with the big money.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the whole problem. And if you want to change it, the Republicans have a supermajority and it's their way. It's the good old boys club.
Yeah, but that's what this petition thing is for. And I'm not arguing with you, Grant. You've made a good point. You've asked a fair question. Now I'm talking through the issue. So don't think I'm challenging you on everything you're saying here. But let's do the petition for that then. You're saying people are sick of it. They're sick of their politicians. That's why we have this initiated measure process, so that you don't have to go through politicians to get it done. So let's get it done without the politicians. How about we do that?
Well, why don't we just get rid of all property tax, all this tax, and just make everything a straight sales tax so everyone participates, whether you're buying or selling, it's fair.
Well, we can put that on the ballot too.
Everything else is just getting so out of control. Property taxes, health insurance is a tax.
Right.
Insurances are a tax, and everyone's getting squeezed so hard. And this is why they're going this way.
Yeah,
is because
I get it.
Big corporate with state leadership always getting their money on top of their already good profits.
I hear you.
Rate paying. They say, hey, we're not going to increase your rates. Watch it.
Gotcha. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate you calling. A good conversation. I appreciate that. Again, I would say this. I understand all that. Those things are fair criticism. But by saying everything's going up, everything's getting so expensive, taxes are out of control, this is exactly what you're approving then if you want the free lunch for everybody. Let's go to Henry. Henry up on line two. Henry, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So you hit on something that has been bothering me since COVID. They went and shut down all the schools. But when they shut down the schools, they said, wait a minute, we can't do that. We have to open it up so those kids can go get their free lunch.
Get some food.
Yep.
That's right. Schools turned into a cafeteria more than an education institution during COVID. You're 100% right.
Right. So why don't we ever address the problem? If all these kids have to go there because it's their only hot meal, That's a pretty sad statement if it's true in America.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm with you. This is just another fleecing, and I don't know why North Dakotans are voting for it. It's crazy. But here's my other question. You said to qualify this, and I don't remember what you said, it was like 1,000 times over poverty level. What the heck is that?
130%. Poverty level plus another 30%. Yeah. Not 1,000.
That's crazy too, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you got to have a number that makes sense to you. And somebody said along the way, hey, poverty level plus 30% makes sense. Hey, thanks for calling, Henry. I appreciate it. We're up against a hard break, but let's keep this conversation going on the other side. What needs to be said here that we haven't said so far? Back with more of your calls and comments on this next. 49 past the hour here. Scott Hennon, What's On Your Mind program coming up next. You know, there's a part of this whole school lunch thing. I think if people know that they're going to get bailed out of this, they just aren't going to send money or send a lunch. But if they knew that their kid would sit through school hungry and not have anything to eat, doesn't the parent figure out, okay, I better do something because I want my kid to have some food? Maybe that's naive on my part. But providing for your kid is a fundamental part of parenting. And if you're providing everything for free, aren't we enabling parents to continue to neglect their kids or just kind of be detached from what they're doing this, what they're doing, raising their kids there? If a parent is capable of feeding their kid, and look, a loaf of bread and some peanut butter, right? I mean, what does that cost you a day? You're talking cents a day. What parent can't really do that with all of the safety nets out there? The solution then should be some kind of intervention or some accountability, not a taxpayer-funded program where the poorest people in the state are paying for the lunch of the richest people for this day. This makes no sense to me. It's not fair at all to any of those people. All right, let's sneak in as many calls as we can here. We just have a few minutes left, and we got a bunch of people who want to get in on this, so let's do it. 701-271-1100. Dana, let's get you up here first. What do you got to say about the school lunch thing? What am I missing here?
It's a trap. The people are getting told they're going to get something for free. When you've got a program right now that's running on less than $6 million, it's not being all used, and they want to increase it to $70
million. Yeah.
Where do you think that $70 million is going to come from, people that think they're getting a bargain with free lunches?
Yeah, it's $70 million a year. That's the cost of this. $70 million a year. That's a lot of money.
You're going to save $5 on feeding your kids with free programs, and it's going to cost you $50 to cover the $70 million.
Yeah, that might be about right. Dana, thanks. Good perspective. Ryan, on line 4 in Aberdeen. Ryan, what do you have to say about this?
Well, my problem with the free school lunch is, in a broader sense, is my problem with most government programs of that type, including SNAP, and that's that I'm getting mugged by the government for my money in taxes. Men with guns come and, you know, take me away to prison if I don't pay my federal taxes. If I don't pay my property taxes or pay my landlord to pay my property taxes, I get evicted. Anyway, all the money that is being taken from me in taxes is funding this thing, and I'm limited in how I can decide how that money is spent. I would say most of the time when these decisions are made, it doesn't involve referendum or initiatives. And I try to put that bug in people's ears. Always keep that in mind. What your tax dollars are paying for, it'd be like if a guy mugged you on the street and then turned around and gave the money in your wallet to a Salvation Army red kettle. That doesn't make it right.
No,
it's still a crime.
Doesn't. Yeah, Ryan, thanks a lot. Good stuff there. Going to move along in the interest of time. Bruce in Minot is on the show. Good morning, Bruce. What do you think about this school lunch deal?
Well, I'm totally opposed to it, but my question to you, I don't know if you'd be able to answer it. The program that we got in place right now, does the state pay for any of that, or is there some federal money that comes into that?
Yeah, this is a good question. I'm not sure that I have that answer. It says the income limits for free school lunch are based on the federal poverty guidelines, and you get reduced or free lunch. So it looks like it's a state policy, but it's calculated with federal numbers, if that makes any sense.
Well, if we're getting federal money for the program, which I don't know.
We probably are. Yeah.
Okay. Now the state's coming back and saying, well, we're going to do it to everybody. Is the federal government just going to say, well, if you're going to do it for everybody, then we're going to take away that federal funding?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the money we're paying right now. And then they're saying it's going to cost $70 million. Is that in addition to what the federal government is already paying right now?
Okay, so I'm searching right now. The school lunch program in North Dakota is a hybrid of federal and state funding. The core of the program is federal, but the state has stepped in with its own money on this deal. And I'm looking to see if I can get... So it's a combination, I guess, is all I can tell you right now. I'll do more digging on this, Bruce, but that's what I got for you today.
Yeah, I was wondering if the federal government is going to say, hey, all right, you got it all then, if you don't want to go by our guidelines, because you're going to give it to everybody.
Yeah, no, fair point. My sense is that they would keep their core funding level going, and then if the state wants to keep adding to it, they can, but I don't know that. Great question, Bruce. Thanks for calling and getting us thinking about
that. Right, thank you.
Take care up there in the Magic City. All right, 54 pass. Got about a minute left. Steven's been hanging on to talk about credit cards. So, Steven, I'm going to give you the last 20 seconds here. What's on your mind about credit cards?
I'll keep it brief. When I think of that, listen, I note with approval that you don't like it. Maybe it smacks of like a takings by the government. However, this is a issue has raised its head before with usury laws, which I think every state has, and prevents predatory lending. So there is that to confront. Not the first time this has surfaced recently either.
Yep. Steven, I'm sorry, my friend, I'm out of time. Call back tomorrow, will you please? Because I do want to continue this conversation, but we're out of time. Yeah, usury is something to talk about here. Have a good day. Keep on flying that flag.